morning. As this is a short passage this morning, I'm going to read it through twice. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Peter is going to come and bring our sermon for this morning. So, God, I want to pray for Peter now. I want to thank you for the words you prepared through him. I want to pray that our ears will be open to what you want to say now. Bless him and fill him with your spirit. Amen.
All that remains then is for me to say a few words to you by way of conclusion. That's not me speaking, that's the Apostle Paul speaking. Finally, brothers and sisters, he says. In other words, all that remains after all that we've been discussing and looking at together, that's over. All that remains then is for me to say one or two things to you as we close. Life is full of sayings and doings, but there comes a point where there seems nothing left to say or to do. And the older one gets, the more this seems to be a reality. I was struck by Deb's reflection on In Touch this week, as she, from her own reading, is encouraging us to intentionally slow down, simplify our lives around what really matters. Over these last few weeks, we've been looking at a number of the passages that Paul has highlighted in his second letter, or the second letter that we have to the church in Corinth. And it's been tough going at times. We've had to get our heads around some quite tricky things. But now he says, all that remains is for me to encourage you to rejoice. Some of the translations say, all that remains is for me to say goodbye. And then he goes on. For Paul is preparing to visit Corinth. He's made that clear in the earlier parts of the chapter. This will be the third time I have visited you. So this is not a final goodbye, but it's the end for the moment. All that remains, he says, is that you grasp this. Now, I've discovered, particularly this week as I've been reading, that the New International Version has gone through quite a number of editions. You'd think NIV would be the same, but they're not. So my NIV at this point says, aim for perfection. And quite right and properly, the passage that was read to us translates that same phrase as be restored or strive for full restoration. Maybe the word perfection is one that the translators kind of pull back from. Perfection? Is that what's expected of us? Can we ever achieve perfection in this life? A preacher of a bygone age, his name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, but that doesn't really matter. He once remarked in a sermon, did you ever see a perfect man? I did once, he says. He called upon me and wanted me to come and see him, for I should get great instruction from him if I did. I said, I have no doubt of it, but I should not like to come into your house. I think I should hardly be able to get into your room. How is that? The man replied. Well, Spurgeon says. He says, I suppose your house would be so full of angels that there would not be room there for me. He did not like that. So I broke another joke or two upon his head. Whereupon he went into a perfect fury. Well, friend, I said to him, I think I am as perfect as you after all. For do perfect men get angry? He denied that he was angry, although there was a peculiar redness about his cheeks that is very common to persons when they are angry. At any rate, I think I rather spoiled his perfection, for he evidently went home less satisfied with himself than when he came out. Aim for perfection. Well, restoration, perfection, something to aim for. Let me throw another verse into the mix. In the beginning of the Gospels, Matthew and Mark, as Jesus goes on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Now, this word, aim for perfection, or be fully restored, is exactly the same word as the word for the mending of nets. Mending nets was a frequent, even a daily task for the fishermen. The nets were torn on rocks or anything sharp, and one tear, if unattended, could soon become a larger one, until the net became useless. A net with holes in it was useless. So when Paul says, all that remains is for you to become useful again for God. Mend, let God mend, let God, let Christ restore that which is broken, that which is torn within you. The preacher that I mentioned continued his sermon thus, I feel perfectly persuaded that perfection is absolutely impossible to any person beneath the sky. And yet, I feel sure that to every believer, future perfection is an absolute certainty. The day shall come, beloved, when the Lord shall not only make us better, but shall make us perfectly good. When he shall not merely subdue our lusts, but when he shall cast the demons out. When he shall make us not only tolerable and bearable and endurable, but make us holy and acceptable in his sight. That day, however, I believe, shall not come until we enter into the joy of our Lord and are glorified together with Christ in heaven. I love that. He shall make us not only tolerable and bearable and endurable. There are times I know, and if you wish, Beverly will confirm this, when I am intolerable, unbearable, and barely endurable. Is that the case, dear? Occasionally. Well, it helps to know yourself. I'm not proud of those things, but I recognize those things within myself. So this is what we are looking forward to in glory. But that's no cause for complacency. This is to be our aim. Self-examination is the start. I don't mean introspection. And think about this. Think of the fishermen sitting in their boats, mending the nets. They don't punish the net for being broken. They don't become depressed and say, oh, look at this net, it's broken again. They take a thread and skillfully close the gap, weaving it, twisting it, catching it, until it's a whole net again and is fit for purpose, which is ultimately what God wants of us. He doesn't want us to simply come week by week and be spectators, but he wants us to be useful in the kingdom of God, not just one day of the week, but every day. But it's Christ's work in us. All we need to do is let him, sit down with him, and together take a look. Yes, I am a bit broken. But as the man in the story of Spurgeon realized, sitting alone and being perfect is all well and good. But our imperfection seems to be visible most in our relationships with others. These verses are not written to just one Corinthian, but to the whole company of brothers and sisters. Finally, brothers and sisters, plural. So, you know, don't sort of say, well, I'm going to go home and I'll sit down all week and I'm going to be perfect. Because it's in our relationships with one another that these things start to show. A church on the way to in the restoration is marked by the things that Paul then goes on to speak about. Mutual encouragement. Unity of mind and harmony. We're very grateful to our musicians who week by week lead us. They play in harmony. If they strike a wrong note, we all recognize it because something goes tilt in our minds and it jars. There are high notes and there are low notes. But together, singers and musicians sing in harmony, sometimes in unison. This is what we are looking for. This is what we want to hear, so that somebody who comes in and listens to the sound of this church will say, here are a people who are in harmony with one another. I've read most of the number one ladies detective agency books by Alexander McCall Smith. And one of the things I love about the description of life in Botswana is the care taken with greetings. Again, Pete's just struggling to recover now. So this was Dumela Mama or Ra. How are you? I am well. How is your family? How are your cattle? warmth, courtesy, and respect for the person. Only then can business be discussed. A greeting was made not merely by a slight gesture and a few words, but generally by embracing and kissing. And somebody has noticed that a journey was frequently slowed by greetings. So I tried this morning as I came into church to not to be too perfunctory about the greetings and the welcome team that were there. You know, we get so used, don't we, to saying good morning, you know, or hi, or whatever, and then we're rushing off to do something else. But actually giving a person the courtesy of time. How are you? How are you really? Now, I mean, there are practicalities, obviously. I mean, I just jumped on Pete then, which wasn't really very fair. The rest of you should just be thankful. But do you see what I'm saying? You know, in a church that is on the way to full restoration, there will be that sense of genuine care. I wonder sometimes how many people come into church with their hearts breaking and go out with their hearts breaking because no one has ever listened to them. Anyway, there is something else here. In the churches, and in the Corinthian church particularly, there were people from all sections of society, particularly slaves and slave owners. Now, slaves were typically addressed by a single given name only a citizen was entitled to a legal family name. So owners could call their slaves whatever they wanted to. Sometimes they were based upon where a person was bought. Just imagine being called Upton-on-Severn or something. Upton. You know, Jewsbury. Or else they were given nicknames referencing their looks, their temperament or function. Big nose. I have to be careful when I say things like that. You know, fatty. Twitchy. Hey, Twitchy. Can you get me a glass of wine? These were all sort of acceptable forms of greeting. Free Romans exchanged greetings like salve or ave as social equals or near equals, but a slave, by contrast, was not greeted with the reciprocal courtesy shown to a free person. Slaves were expected to greet their masters and betters, often with deference, bowing their heads, standing or using respectful address, but were not necessarily owed a greeting in return. And younger or lower slaves were expected to defer to senior slaves within a household. But within the church, you are all one in Christ Jesus. There is neither bond nor free. So the moment you stepped into the company of Christians, whether you were a slave owner or a slave, you were treated with the same courtesy. You embraced one another. You recognized the person that was standing in front of you. And you greeted one another with the kiss of peace. I think that's kind of real challenging stuff. Yes, we are an inclusive church, but we are still on the way to perfection. Isn't it funny how we always tend to talk to the same people? You know, I do sometimes think, you know, if I went and sat on the other side of the church, one people might wonder, what was the matter? You know, had I fallen out with the people on this? Well, all right, I'll leave that one with you. Divisions in society are washed away. Slave and master greet one another with a kiss of peace. So all that remains, then, thirdly, or fourthly, or secondly, I'm not sure which, is to acknowledge and live in peace with other Christians around us who take an interest in us. Again, I'm quoting. All the saints send their greetings. to live in peace with other Christians around us who take an interest in us. I noticed in Lizzie's prayer how she highlighted the relationship that we have with some of the churches that were part of this church, the church at Fernal Heath, St. Peter's Baptist Church, pointing out the changes in leadership and the continuing leadership in those places. And we will see this in the induction service as Mike and Lisa come. There will be other churches that join with us. And we are called to live in peace with other Christians around us. And that can be a challenge, particularly if people disagree with us on some item or other. All that remains then is to live within the great, engulfing, surrounding love of the triune God, as we have been at peace with one another, not just moi, but genuine, as we have lived in peace with the wider company of Christians. We now move into that great, engulfing, surrounding love of God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with who? You all. An inclusive blessing. Not just be with the people that I like, not just with the people who agree with me. Our vicar in the village often concludes the service by helping, by reminding us that we need not just to love the people who love us, but to love those whom we find difficult to love. I'm sure it's not just in the Anglican Church that there are people who we find difficult to love. But the great, engulfing, surrounding love of the triune God means that we reach out to one another, allowing God to restore within us, mend that within us, which is broken, so that we will be useful to him. This marks the preaching team's conclusion, if you like, in its current form, as it was set up to serve during the pastoral vacancy. During August, we have our intergenerational services, which I will be leading one, God willing, but they will be led by a number of other people. And then in September, we will have a new pastor, someone who will take on this responsibility of sorting out and organizing the preaching. So all that remains is for me to acknowledge those who served alongside me: John Butterworth, Deb Crookle, John Gardner, Nick Kaleniuk, Heather Leach, Raj, and also from emerging leaders and preachers: Becca, Lizzie, Molly, Rachel, and those of you who've brought all age talks, and those who have seamlessly prepared and delivered our worship. It's not goodbye, but it's a sense that we now look forward to serving and ministering alongside Mike as God leads. So all that remains, brothers and sisters, is for us to rejoice, aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.